GNC555. It's Friday, February 25th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone, I got a great show for you, and hopefully a good recording at the end of the show, too. Got a great show, so strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, everyone, wow, what a week, and what a non-availability of the show in iTunes, yeah? I have no idea what happened, because as soon as I got done doing a show 554 on Monday night and got it posted up to the website, usually within about 30 minutes, iTunes picks it up. Well, nothing. Nothing happened until this morning. And I had actually had to ping someone over at Apple and say, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you check out and see why my last episode hasn't pressed? And they got it fixed for me. And I, believe me, I'm hoping tonight's episode is up there right away. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. So if you missed 554 on iTunes, it's there now. And make sure that you always check the website too. And of course, if you're subscribed to the newsletter, you don't have to worry, because you know that the show has just come out. Of course, I want to welcome all of the new listeners to the show. Welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. Again, my name is Todd Cochran, and you can get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, you can check out our archive podcast out via the podcast link on the website. Get subscribed to the show so that you get it delivered automatically to your favorite podcatcher, whether it be to your iPhone, your iTouch, your Zoom, whatever it may be, your BlackBerry. Get subscribed to your show. Get subscribed to the show. That way you'll never miss a single episode. Along with that, sign up for our newsletter. Our newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about tonight, including all the links that have been submitted by our fabulous audience. Of course, the Ohana, longtime listeners of the show, hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. And those of the you that are new, hey, as well, welcome to the podcast, and welcome to the Ohana. Of course, this show is recorded twice weekly, every Monday and Thursday night here in Honolulu, released Tuesday and Friday morning for our listening audience. We've got a number of folks on Ustream watching right now. Welcome to folks on Ustream as well. And of course, if you're catching this on YouTube or wherever it may be later, I want to thank you for checking out the show. And make sure, again, get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all our great content. And, of course, regular blog content, podcasts, video stuff, show coverage, and the whole works here. If you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Had a little bit of a update for you. It looks like I'm going to South by Southwest. As I had said earlier this week, it just didn't look like the stars were aligning. And what I'm going to be able to do, and because I've got a meeting in San Francisco, actually San Jose, the week of the 15th, actually 16th, 17th, and 18th of March, I'm going to be in San Jose. But so I decided to go ahead and press to South by Southwest. So I'll be leaving Honolulu the night of the 10th, getting into Austin on the 11th, be able to have a little time to recover from the night flight from Hawaii. The show starts on the 12th, so I'm going to be there for the interactive portion. So I'll be there 12th, 13th, 14th, and I'll probably fly out late in the day on the 15th to go to San Fran, drive down to San Jose, there and be that week. And then what I think I'm going to do, I think I'm going to hang out in the valley an extra day. So if I have enough of a response, I'm going to have a meetup probably Friday night the 19th, and then I'm going to fly out Saturday. Now, I'm not going home. On the 20th, I'm going to Dallas, and I'll be back in Texas for a few days. Probably that whole week, I think, is the way it's shaping up. And then I'll be back to Honolulu at the end of the month. So a two and a half week run. And, of course, out to South by Southwest is going to be a great show. Be out there for a few days and doing a little bit of interactive coverage and finding out what that whole event is all about. As you guys know, on the last show, and, of course, most of you don't even know about this, but the recording on my Adobe Edition software died about 40 minutes into the recording last time. And this really has set up a dilemma for me because I had quit using backup software or backup recording devices several years ago and actually had sent off one of my recorders to my mom. And what has happened now is that I have the, wrong camera. I have the, I went ahead and picked up the Zoom H, what is this thing called? The H4N. And I'm using that as a backup recording today in case something happens with Edition. This thing's been good for 500 plus shows and just decided to act a fool on me. So hopefully we've got that figured out. But definitely we'll have a good recording, backup recording. The backup recording yesterday came from, or from the Monday show, came from the TriCaster. And the TriCaster does audio great, but just audio standalone is not one of its strengths. And kind of weird, though. I thought the audio would turn out a little better with it, but you can hear a little hum in the background, which you don't hear in the video version, so I have no idea what the story is there. I need to reach back here and actually crank down the volume just a little bit. I guess a little hot. So that should help just a little bit, and I'll watch this throughout the night, because what we're doing now is I'm running strictly analog on the Windows machine that's recording the show, so hopefully that kind of solves it. I disconnected the FireWire and everything. In April, my team is going to be going out to NAB. I don't know if I'm going to be going, but definitely going to have my team out there, so we'll be out at the National Associated Broadcasters the week of August to April 12th or something like that, so I'll be out there. What else is going on here? Hey, you know something kind of interesting about Honolulu? Trade winds are really up. I actually had to shut my window that normally cools this room off because I was getting a little into the microphone tonight. So that's just kind of how that works sometimes. A new position in the office changes things. All right, let me look at my list here, make sure I got everything covered. Basically, wrapping up stuff here. Been burning the midnight oil. I put in two, like, 20-hour days getting ready for a whole bunch of new advertisers we're bringing on to Raw Voice and getting all the shows ready to go. We've got an advertiser we're bringing on for strictly a bunch of ladies shows. So a bunch of ladies that are podcasting over to blueberry.com are about ready to get engaged on an advertising campaign over there. Of course, I've already talked about bringing Audible on starting in March, along with some other vendors as well, working a couple of tech companies. So a lot of cool stuff's going to be coming to the forefront. Some of it you'll hear here, some of it you won't, some of you hear in other shows. But just putting that all together has been insane, and I've been putting in long hours on that. Still need to get over to the accountant. They got my business taxes done. I know they told me to bring my checkbook. They gave me the total for the actual taxes, but he told me to bring a second check too. I'm afraid to see what that tax bill is going to be. But, you know, a tax man cometh, the tax man taketh away. And this isn't even my personal income tax. So don't you guys hate taxes? You know, there's one thing for sure in life, death, taxes, that's for sure. I want to thank those that are contributing to my salary replacement plan. That's going very good, and some new contributions to that. And if you're contributing to my salary replacement plan, I want to thank you. And if you feel like that the show is deserving or I'm deserving, there's a link in the second column of the website, same column as the newsletter link. So feel free to go over there. You can start off by $2. $2 is a $2 a month is where the sweet spot is right now. Some of you have been I've been really encouraged because I've gotten a couple of you that are doing 20 a month. I want to thank those of you that are doing that. That's terrific. And we're going to have to come up with some sort of an incentive plan. So one thing I do want to do tonight is and those of you that are subscribed to the newsletter, in the newsletter today, there will be a mailing address. If you send me a envelope, and inside that envelope is another envelope with a stamp and an address on it, if you send that to me, What I will do is I will send you back some swag, some stickers, some stuff, maybe some buttons, some stuff that you normally couldn't get unless you came to one of our shows. So I'll send you back some swag. I got some Tech Podcast stickers, some Blueberry stickers, some stuff that we had left over, some other shows. Whatever I can stuff in your little envelope, I'll put some stuff in there and send it back to you. So put maybe 2 stamps on the return envelope, because it'll be kind of crinkly when it comes, but we'll be sending those out to those that are signed up to the newsletter that send me, again, an envelope with a inserted inside as a self-addressed stamped envelope. We'll send you back some swag for you, and just, you know, some goodies for you to because I got to get rid of some stuff back here. And it's all fresh stuff, don't get me wrong, but let's hook some of you up. Okay, let's get into, of course, taking care of a little business here. GoDaddy. Without them, the lights would not be on. So if some day the show lights are off, no, just kidding. GoDaddy has been a longtime sponsor here of the show, big supporter. Matter of fact, got a couple emails and some those of you that have had a couple of questions about GoDaddy. We'll be talking about that in the email section today. But the main thing is you can save some money when you get over there. You can save some money using my promo codes, and you can share my promo codes with your friends, family members, coworkers, put the promo codes on your bulletin boards at work, whatever it takes to help the show out, share those promo codes and use them yourself when you get over to GoDaddy.com, because they keep the lights on here. And you really, domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts. I just got some domains through a domain auction. You can't use the promo codes on the domain auctions, but another great service. So when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget me. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on 1-year shared hosting accounts. You can see some of those codes on Ustream watching behind me, watching the sign back there. I'll flash some of those codes. ComSale, $7.49 for a .com, either renewal or a new purchase. And those of you that purchase products over at GoDaddy, thanks for being a supporter of the show, and also those of you that haven't, hey, consider doing so. And a great time to get a blog set up and start podcasting as well. Okay, as well, the weather. What is the story with the weather out east? Again, more snow, rain. You know, I looked at the map that was on one of the guys' on his blog, and it just showed this big, massive storm over Boston and New York, and the that means you can't travel. So with all this heavy weather, it makes getting to meetings close to impossible, okay? Skip the flight, skip the drive, use GoToMeeting to host an online meeting instead. Really, it's simple. Everyone simply logs on to GoToMeeting.com, and within seconds, they're seeing your screen on their computer. And with just a click, you can host sales presentations, do conference calls, training sessions, product demos. Matter of fact, you did one at like 5:30 in the morning yesterday, some crazy, ridiculous time here. I mean, I had been out of bed like 15 minutes. One of our sales reps called and said, Todd, I need to talk with a client. I'm like, well, let me brush my teeth at least. And basically, I did a meeting here in the office in my pajamas, which is pretty cool. And they didn't know the difference. You know, we had a little short meeting, 15 minutes, and boom, I was out. So you can hold a meeting anytime, but you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial. Okay, let me go ahead and close this out. Someone's asking, what about Carbonite for sponsor? Sounds like they're everywhere. They're not here. If you got a contact over there, if they're everywhere, probably everyone's already knows about them. You know, is it going to make me any money? I don't know, but we'll be bringing some new sponsors, some cool stuff soon. I promise you, we're going to be introducing some cool stuff. Just got to get those signatures on those contracts for the companies that are in process here. Okay, let me bring up the list of content I have for you tonight. And I got to press the right button here. And Big Odie, hello. How are you tonight? Good evening. I'm kind of watching the chat off the Stargate podcast. Welcome to the show. Those are folks that are on Ustream right now with me. And let me go ahead here and close this tab. Let's go right into the first article tonight. What is the story in Italy? You know, can you imagine living in Italy and running a business and someone comes into your store and gets naked, or someone comes into your store and beats a customer up, or for better, you know, say something profane, and you immediately either escort that person out the store or hold them for the police or whatever it may be. And the police arrive, and instead of arresting the person that's doing it, arrest you for allowing it to happen. You know, it's like you got precognition. You know that something is going to happen in your store. So you shut and lock the door before the person comes in because you got telepathy, right? I'm sorry, Italy. In the Italian judicial system, they have simply lost their minds. They have definitely hurt the freedom of speech because they're locking 3 Google employees up for stuff that was posted on the Google video website, YouTube. They immediately took it down when they were informed, and yet the guys are going to jail. The execs were told they were criminally responsible for content used posted to YouTube, even though Google removed the video just 2 hours after receiving an Italian police complaint, which itself had taken 2 months. They had taken 2 months to notice the video. The Italian police were not held responsible, and the kids who carried out the bullying got only community service. Yet three Google reps are in jail. I think I had to call Angelo in the morning and tell him on all Raw Voice properties, block all Italian IPs for allowing them to come to our website. I'm not going to jail for something someone else posts. What's safe harbor rules? There is no such thing in Italy. Now, Google's going to appeal this, but this judge that put this ruling down has simply lost their minds. Now, please, someone, we've got listeners from 163 countries, I think it's now 164, that listen to this show. I know we've got listeners from Italy, and I don't mean to disparage your judicial system, but please call into the voicemail hotline or someone in a surrounding country. Please tell me what the heck is going on in Italy. Are they gonna arrest every foreign business person for something that happens negatively that is out of their control? It's nonsense. This is absolutely pure nonsense. It's a witch hunt. And I don't know about you, but I'm thoroughly, thoroughly disgusted. So what do you guys think? Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. I just don't get it. It's just crazy. It really is. So anyway, let's talk a little bit more about judges doing stuff. Now, this time, it's actually on the good side. Microsoft got a court order today to issue a secret restraining order. The restraining order took 277 domains offline used by criminals to communicate with a botnet offline. Microsoft is hoping without those domain names, it is that the controllers of the botnet will permanently lose access to the machines running their malware. If I'm running a botnet, I've got one domain that's hid off somewhere that in case something like this happens, I can regain control. We'll see what happens with this. But it's Microsoft intent was to get this thing shut down. Apparently, there's a unit within Microsoft called Operation B49 that is working this issue. It's a peer-to-peer communication botnet, so they're trying to shut this down. So I think this is a first. I have never heard of Microsoft actually going after a botnet. Now, I don't know what they were distributing or what they were doing, but it was very obvious here that there must have been something impacting Microsoft for them to take action on this, or maybe they're being good net citizens. I don't know. All right, those of you on Ustream, I'm going to put up a link here for you. Hang on a second. We'll get this busted up. Let me put it online. Switch that to that. Okay, I want to show you guys something here. Remember on the last show, I talked about you probably can't see this. I don't know if I can zoom this or not, but we talked about OGG, the video codec OGG, and H264. And I talked about my experiments with OGG up to this point really has proven that H.264 is a much superior codec, even though in 2 years we're all going to have to start paying royalties to use the codec. Well, there's been some heavy-duty experimentation done by a guy who's really looking. I can see it. Just looking at two stills that were taken from this image, you can see on the right of this image, and those of you that are listening to the show, what you see is a ballerina on a stage performance, and she is basically wearing a red or, you know, light, not even red, I don't know what you classify that color as, but anyway, you can see a distinct difference in the quality of the frame, and this is a pretty high, they've encoded this at a very high rate, which means that there should not be very much loss in this specific encoding. But you can really see the delta here. And I'll have can I blow this up? Yeah, I can. So those of you that are on Ustream can actually see this a little bit. There's the picture on the right and much, much clearer than the picture on the left. But it just goes to show you that there's going to be a big battle here, ongoing battle with this this war for HTML5. And why this is such a big deal right now is that the HTML5 standard is going to allow us to put video on our web pages without any sort of flash player or anything. It's just going to be a little, some tags you put in HTML, link the video file, and when your browser loads, the video will just be there. It'll just start. You don't have to run flash. It can be in a native compressed format. So the folks over at Firefox and Opera, they're really OGG, that's where you got to go because there's no royalty payments. OGG is a open source codec, whereas H.264 in 2 years, those of us that use it are supposedly going to have to start paying a royalty to do that. Now, my personal feeling is what's going to happen is that Google, owning YouTube, they're going to come out with some sort of codec and they're going to release to the public that will be open source, that will probably everyone will migrate to, or there may be two or three codecs that are introduced to try to get us away from using H.264 as the codec of choice as it is right now. So we've got some challenges ahead. It's exciting to see what's happening and where this is going to go. So it's kind of funny this article came out right after we talked about it on the last podcast, but I'll have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. Of course, if you're subscribed to the newsletter, you can get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. So make sure you get subscribed. All right, Intuit has released its first Mac Quicken version in 4 years. And how many of you are still using Quicken? How many of you are using their online product? That's what we use. We use for the business edition, we use their online edition, and it works great, and it makes it easy to, you know, as far as the business side goes, I can log into the books, take a look at things, don't need to go really make changes. They can set my permissions so I don't screw up what the CPA has done, and Barry can write checks from it. So, you know, I really like the business version that Intuit has, but I haven't used Quicken in years because my online banking does most of the stuff that Quicken used to do. So how many of you are still using Quicken, and are you getting any, you know, what's the value you're getting out of it these days? Or are you using mostly their online product? Has it affected you? Has it affected Mac users at all for not having a new desktop version from 4 years? All right, Facebook last night had a little issue. I guess private messages being sent were redirected to the wrong people. Over on ArsTechnica.com, they're reporting that Facebook users begin getting hundreds of private messages and friend requests intended for other users, according to a Wall Street Journal. Now, I didn't have any new friend requests come in, so I guess I wasn't a beneficiary of this issue. Maybe some of my messages went somewhere else. Actually, I wasn't on Facebook last night. But if you were, you got maybe some juicy stuff from someone else, yeah? TV stations. Whoo, boy, we knew this was coming. Today, the chair of the Federal Communication Commission unveiled a key component of the agency's plan to really expand national broadband. they've asked national broadcasters to give up another 500 megahertz of spectrum over the next decade for the mobile wireless industry. The agency will propose what they're calling a mobile future action that will allow television broadcasters in spectrum-starved markets to voluntarily relinquish license in exchange for a cut of the auction proceeds. Those of you that live in rural areas that have no other choice but over-the-air broadcasts, sounds like it's Dish. This is, you know, this is going to raise a dilemma for a lot of you. I'm sure it will. But if they're able to get broadband deployment out to areas that don't have it currently, it may not be such a big deal, except that they're going to have to do a little, you know, trade and balance and subsidies maybe to people that have no other, you know, that's their only commission. Basically, getting free over-the-air TV is their only option. And also for people that cannot afford cable or cannot afford Dish, which is an issue for many. So we'll see. 500 megahertz. Now I'm going to have to go pull out. I've got a Spectrum electric frequency spectrum chart here somewhere. Since the realignment of from going from analog to digital TV, I'm going to have to see how much of that is how much they're asking to take up. So I'll see if I can find that chart and do a little analysis to see of the spectrum that they're using right now, what's the swath that they're asking. So this is pretty cool. Now, there's a stat in here that says 90% of Americans receive their broadcast TV programming in most major markets through cable, wires, or satellites. But that still leaves 10%. And what do we have? How many people in this country? 230, 240 million? I don't know. What's the number? Someone tell me. That still leaves 23, 30, 35 million people that would be affected by this, which is huge. And I think this is going to be very difficult for the federal government to, because people are going to scream. People that get over the air TV are going to scream bloody murder in fighting this. And I guess I can't blame them. So, This is not necessarily a good thing for broadcasters. But in my opinion, mainstream media is on the way down anyway, right? So, you know, maybe they'll meet in the middle and help speed up the process. So content like this will continue to thrive like it is. All right, Virgin Media is promising to speed up to 100 megabits per second broadband. And this is an article over on the BBC. That's pretty exciting for those of you in the UK that have access to Virgin Media to their network. So it's Virgin Media is saying it will start to roll out broadband with speeds up to 100 megs to homes by the end of this year. They're saying that some areas will offer speeds up to 200 megabits per second. And I'm happy to report that I actually heard an advertisement today. I was actually on a phone call. And I got done, I was in my car, I was on a wireless, of course, and I clicked off, and I had a local AM talk radio station on, and I heard an ad for Roadrunner. They said, new higher speeds coming later this year. So hopefully Hawaii is going to be in this part of this DOCSIS 3.0 rollout. Only time will tell. But getting back to Virgin Media, they say that Virgin is playing catch-up as customers are already using 100 megabits per second over BT's network. It's fair to say we're bigger than them and they're going to grow faster. So Virgin Media has 4.1 million broadband customers and added 46,000 over the last quarter, while BT has just over 5 million subscribers, some 25% more, and is growing at around twice the rate of Virgin Media, around 102,000 last quarter. But, wow, you know, come on, United States, hurry up. Let's get caught up. This is ridiculous. And I'm still... I actually saw 11 megs down on my connection the other day when I did a speed test. That is like a record. All right. Latvian L-A-T-V-I-N, Tadism here. I can't pronounce this. Latvia. Well, anyway, you guys got the point here. Robinhood hacker leaks bank details to TV. An alleged hacker has been hailed as a later day Robinhood for leaking data about the finance of banks to Latvian TV. Using the alias Neo from the Matrix films, a hacker claims he wants to expose those cashing in on the recession in Latvia. And some of you are laughing, I'm sure, here. But he got onto the bank and he downloaded all kinds of dirt. Basically, the bank said, oh, our executive took pay cuts. No, they didn't. We didn't give any bonuses to our people. Yes, they did. And even though the government told them they couldn't. And then secretly, the government said they could. So, yes, it's, you know, do as I say, not as I do type of thing. So the people there in a country are very pleased with this individual and the government. And, of course, these banks are state-owned. Have a little bit of an egg on their face. So we'll see. The police, of course, are investing in this very vigorously. So we'll see if they are able to find out who this Neo hacker is. All right, tune images from the ESA small water mission. And this is the first, this is from a European Space Agency, the SMOS, S-M-O-S satellite. First images have been released. This satellite, which was launched on 2 November, carries a single instrument. It's an interferometric radiometer called the MIRAS. It's some 8 meters across, and it has the look of a helicopter rotor blade. What this satellite does, it measures changes in the wetness of the land and in the salinity of the ocean water by observing variations in the natural microwave emissions coming off the surface of the planet. So some of the data looks pretty cool. It's going to help predict droughts, weather conditions, a whole bunch of different stuff. What's going to happen with El Nino? It's going to be a pretty cool device is going to add to the tool sets that scientists are going to be able to have to find out what's going on with our climate. All right, are you a Palm fan? Palm has released some very bad financial information. They said today that this year's sales will be well below its forecast because customers aren't buying devices as quickly as expected. The company had projected sales of $1.6 billion for the year ending in May. Revenue in the fiscal third quarter will be $310 million at most. Analysts projected $409.3 million. So stock got hit hard. Fell $1.56 or 19% to $6.53 at the close of the New York Stock Exchange on the NASDAQ stock market. So it's the biggest decline since December 2008, and the stock has lost about a third of its earnings. I hope you don't own that one. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if a buyer comes forth. Maybe BlackBerry will come pick them up, or RIM will maybe come buy them. Who knows? But not looking good for the folks at Palm. And the CEO said on a, you know, upbeat letter to all of its employees upon release of information saying, don't worry, we're going to come back. We've got a plan. Yeah, buy Apple. Good luck. Oh, you got to feel bad for the Palm folks. I know there's a lot of hardcore dedicated Palm users out there. You know, it's been a rough couple of years for you guys. And well, hopefully they'll get back on track if you're still a fan of the company. All right, Boxy. I'm excited about Boxy. Boxy's getting around onto a lot of devices, and it's back on the Apple TV. Now, you have to hack your Apple TV to do this, but the Boxy is working on its dedicated, it's going to be available through a little bit of a hack. There's information here on the actual CNET website, but they've made it work, and probably Apple will come out with a release to push it off, but there's some instructions available for you if you want to get Boxy on your Apple TV. And really what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to take a USB stick, load some software, and then go through a couple little reboots of your Apple TV to make this happen. But we're going to be seeing the Boxy box soon by D-Link. I cannot wait for this to be out. They're saying second quarter of 2010. Hopefully that means early second quarter, which we're, you know, fast approaching. So keep your fingers crossed. A lot of exciting things coming from Boxy. All right, those of you that are on the new Thunderbird version 3.0, security fixes upgrades have arrived. So make sure you get your version 3 updated and get those security fixes in and some tweaks to the software as well. Remember on the last show, we talked about the Federal Trade Commission basically telling about 100 companies that they had some leakage of data that had made it onto peer-to-peer networks. Well, it appears the FTC sent those companies more than a notice that they had their data was out there. They had actually started investigations against them. They're seeking information dating back to mid-2007 on a wide range of technological and process-related topics. They want to find out how this information got on, how the data that is on the internet was collected, stored, and so forth. So this cannot be good for this. The FTC's 12-page civil investigative demand, the CID letter, is essentially a federal subpoena that signals the start of a full-fledged federal investigation of a company. You do not want to be on the receiving end of this. Wow. That's big. It really, really is. Better keep your stuff locked down. Keep it secure. Keep that sensitive stuff off the net or accessible from the net. All right, over on ehomeupgrade.com. Hey, guys, Skype fans. I like Skype. I use it all the time. And, you know, Skype is on the move here. And what's going on is Skype-enabled TV ecosystem continues to grow. And this page on eHome Upgrade has more ads. Look, you guys that are on Ustream, look at that. Netflix ad over here, Netflix ad there. And then you got this little narrow column of content. Well, I guess Netflix is paying well for the folks over at eHome Upgrade. Well, last month, Skype did announce partnerships with LG Electronics and Panasonic to deliver Skype-enabled TVs. Today, Samsung announced that all Samsung LED 7000 to 8000 series HD TVs will be Skype-enabled as well. So, you guys, remember, I keep telling you, everything's moving to our televisions, computers in our televisions. So that probably means that not only will Samsung have Skype in there, that means they have some sort of computer processing power available in that TV set. So what that will end up meaning is that we're probably going to start seeing more apps as well on these devices. We know Magnavox on their HD TVs, LEDs, are going to be putting Vudu on, and I wonder how that's going to work now that Walmart owns that. Matter of fact, Walmart told Vudu, in which Vudu was the only company that had adult content available. Basically, Vudu informed all of their adult vendors that they were terminating their agreements with them, and they were going to settle up whatever they owed them, but no adult content on the Vudu. So, you know, Walmart is getting into the same mode of boat as Apple has. Matter of fact, Apple today, and I don't have a link to this in the show notes, but Apple today removed the explicit selection in the Apple App Developers Store. Basically, when a developer goes in to submit an app, he has to basically select a number of things when he's submitting the app to the App Store. And the explicit function, which used to be there, is no longer there. So no explicit apps. And what does this really mean? Now, the question I have is, at least for Apple, is what's going to happen now if you have a app and while the app itself may not be directly responsible for explicit material, what happens if there's content in there? For example, if let's say Raw Voice builds an iPhone app for our Blueberry community, and there's podcasts around Blueberry that are explicit, nothing X-rated, I don't think, but go through there and someone selects explicit. Will that cause the app to be banned because a content segment in there is explicit? I don't know. So it's a discussion we're going to have next week, which, you know, for individuals who are creating content on the internet, especially those folks that are creating content that's explicit or non-kid safe, adult in any nature, you may find that your accessibility to getting on these iPhone apps or being, you know, accessible through an app is not possible. You know, sure, they you know, basically said that no skin, and men pictures would have to be coat and ties, of course. This raises a real question for those of you that are out there that are creating content that contains adult language and adult topics, and you have to mark your content explicit to protect minors. What does that mean? Does that mean you are now excluded from having your content available on the iPhone itself? So, you know, what you're going to have to do, and quite honestly, is you're going to have to be web-based. You're going to have to be accessible. Your websites and your content is going to have to be accessible in a format that is basically friendly to Safari. So we'll see, you know, but the morality police are on the march here, that's for sure. And Apple is definitely walking down that path. So it's going to be curious to see what they develop on this and how this story continues to grow and what other apps get killed because of their explicit nature. So makes you wonder. All right, Microsoft is going to end support for older Windows versions. The Windows Vista RTM, basically, this is the release candidate. If you guys are, that's, I think you should probably have upgraded to a paid version by now. Those of you running Windows XP with Service Pack 2 and Windows 2000, they're going to end official support for all of those packages. In other words, no more security updates after July 13th. So I've got a number of XP machines here still that are on Service Pack 2. That means after July, no more updates. And I'll be forced to either upgrade them or live with the possibility that there could be a security breach. So that's the word on that. Again, Windows XP Service Pack 2, Windows 2000, and Windows Vista RTM version, end of support July 13th. All right, under fire, administrator defends NASA's new direction. This is an article over on the New York Times. Boy, oh boy. Congress is not happy. And for the first time, I kind of had to say, oh, finally, someone is standing up and saying, is this a good idea? Apparently, Major General Charles F. Bolden Jr., who is the administrator of NASA, was taken almost as a hostile witness and on questioning Thursday from members of a key House committee who said they opposed the president's administration's plans to revamp the nation's human spaceflight program, reading directly here from the New York Times. But Congress is not happy that they're, you know, spent $9 billion on the Constellation rocket and now $2.5 billion just to get out of all the contracts and shut that down. So there is congressional reps, of course, from Alabama, Florida, Texas, the home of the NASA centers, that are not real happy about this. Because all this money is going to have to come, they're going to be leaving their districts with this new plan. So a little bit of pushback on the president's plan. Now, you know, the more I think about this, you know, shouldn't we go? I think we should go back to the moon, right? Shouldn't we? You know, who knows what we haven't found or what we, you know, the Apollo mission spent such a short time on the moon. And how many years ago? And now we've advanced so far in science. You know, it's time to, you know, spread our wings a little bit and, you know, get to the moon. Get that science done and figure out how we're going to get people to Mars, you know. That's the next step. You got to figure out how to live. Once you learn how to live on Mars for an extended period and can do that, then it's time to, you know, take a hop, skip, jump over to Mars. We got, you know, I would love to see in my lifetime, you know, man on Mars. Really, wouldn't you be excited about that? Wouldn't that just be like something that the nation could get behind? And look at all the technology that would come from that, because sure, it's going to be expensive, but what happened when we did the Apollo stuff? Huge, huge, huge advancements in electronics and in, you know, survival technology and all this stuff that had this trickle-down effect into our daily lives. After all, you know, we got Tang. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. what I just said. I'm just, some of you are like, what's that, Todd? For those of you that don't know, go ahead, just Google it. Well, anyway, really, this is, don't you think we should go? I think we should. And, you know, the president doesn't want to do that. This, you know, this economy is going to recover. We're going to get out of this. Jobs are going to be back. The economy is going to, you know, continue. You know, we're going to get back in our groove. You know, we got a few rough hurdles right now, but it's going to happen. So, you know, don't be so short-sighted and stop us from dreaming and going ahead. I just hope that Congress has, you know, enough cool heads that they say no to the president and make NASA get on track and stay on track. And after all, why do we want to waste the $9 billion, throw that in the toilet and flush it, plus another $2.5 billion we're just going to flush down the toilet because it's, oh, let's just stop now. You know, no more investing in that. You know, that's, give me $9 billion if you want to flush it. Just give it to me and we'll take care of a lot of people. We'll do some remarkable stuff with $9 billion. You know, really. You know, they should have never spent this money to begin with. So, we'll see. We'll see. But, you know, these congressional reps, a lot of power. When their districts are impacted by contracts and stuff like that shutting down, they get upset. They want that money staying in their districts. And it's going to get ugly. It really is. So, I'm sure we'll see more fireworks on this. All right. Hey, what a more appropriate song. Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash, Guess Things Happen That Way by Johnny Cash was the 10 billionth song downloaded. A gal by the name of Louis Sulzer will win a $10,000 gift card from Apple. 10 billion songs downloaded and paid for. That's amazing. So, congratulations to him, and 10 billion. That's an amazing number. If you really, really think about that, that's a big number in number of music downloads. And the music industry is complaining they're not making no money. Come on. Give me a break. All right. Citibank. Boy, oh boy. Oh boy, oh boy. We have a number of LGBT listeners that listen to the show. And we very strongly support the LGBT community over at Blueberry. We have a full section. When I do the podcasting awards, I support the LGBT, have an LGBT category. I have some great friends that are podcasters that are in the gay and lesbian community. And what I'm reading today about Citibank, I can guarantee you Citibank is going to lose hundreds and thousands of customers. It appears Citibank over the weekend closed and made not accessible an account of a startup called Fabulous, Fabulis. You can go to fabulous.com. This is a site that is primarily for gay men. It's some sort of a video site. It's not adult in nature. But they shut down this company's bank account because they said they had objectionable material on their website. I looked at the website. I saw nothing objectionable on the website. People expressing their opinions. Citibank, three different people said that this company's bank had been suspended or not made not accessible because of objectionable content on their website. Well, after much press, and I'm sure this is on ZDNet, it's on every blog, it's on a number of blogs, Citibank issued a statement today. Citibank sincerely apologizes to Mr. Goldberg. Now, Mr. Goldberg is the CEO of the company. He has funders like Washington Post, several big venture capital firms out on the West Coast. So this, you know, this guy's got significant money. He was involved in a couple other startups as well. Citibank says, Citibank sincerely apologized to Mr. Goldberg for this misunderstanding. This situation had nothing to do with the content of his website. And any comment by our staff to the contrary were incorrect. We're reviewing what happened. This was a technical issue about missing documentation as required for a new business account. Once we resolve the situation, we unblock the account immediately. Mr. Goldberg is a valued customer, and we appreciate his business. Also, Citi is strongly committed to diversity, including support of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community and other organizations promoting diversity. In fact, this week, Citi has announced the financing for the True Colors Residents, a housing facility for the homeless GLBT youth in New York City. Now, this was what they said after the fact. Yet three employees at Citibank said, oh no, your website's been shut down for objectionable material. Even told him that his bank account was being closed. Wow. Did someone say lawsuit? Wow. That's all I can say. So everyone has their own opinion, and they're right to have a right to their own opinion. And this is remarkable for a company as big as this to have this said in a public forum. And hey, they apologize, but what do you guys think? You know, come on. I'd like to hear your comments. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right. Over on eWeek. Did you have a BlackBerry Bold? Do you have a BlackBerry Bold 9700? Well, my suggestion is you get a Bluetooth with that phone. Research in Motion's BlackBerry Bold 9700 scores the highest among popular smartphones for exposing users to the highest legal levels of cell phone radiation. Cell phone radiation. FCC standard limits the radiation absorbed by a cell phone user's brain and body to a specific absorption rate measured by the amount of the phone's radiation energy in watts. Current FCC regulations permit levels of 1.6 watts/kilogram for partial body. I don't understand that. 1.6 watts. I understand that. Why have they got a slash kilogram in there? For partial body head exposure, 0.08 watts per kilogram for whole body exposure, and 4 watts/kg for exposure to hands, wrists, and feet. The BlackBerry Bold scores an overall 1.55, and whatever that means, because that's, oh yeah, pretty high. So, you know, RF, yes, that's the radio frequency that comes out of your phones. That is radiation. Yeah, how many of us are going to have brain tumors? On this side of right-handed, you're going to right side of your head is going to have a big... that'll be a study to be done in 20 years. They'll be cutting our heads open and pulling our brains out to see how much radiation's on our right-hand side of our brains for right-handed people, and you know how much damage is done on our left-hand side. You know, I don't know. Someone that's a medical major, tell me what does this side of the brain, you know, what's its function? What does it do in this portion around the ear and the upper cranium part? What is that responsible for? Is that maybe why I'm, you know, got tautisms or loss of thought or memory? Who knows? I'd love to hear, you know, someone's probably Google this and find it. But, wow. All right, I got to hurry up. I'm having too much fun tonight. I'm going to go long. Who cares, right? Microsoft says it never meant to knock Cryptome offline. Microsoft on Thursday demanded that Cryptome.org yank the Microsoft Global Criminal Spy Guide. What this document was basically telling law enforcement how you are to submit a subpoena for information on individuals if you're trying to gain data about them. Actually, a little guidebook for the FBI. Here, FBI, here, Justice Department, if you need to do a subpoena, this is the information you can get from our users on our network. Wow, this is a leaked Microsoft intelligence document. If you want to know what Microsoft will reveal to the police about you if there's ever a subpoena for your records, this is all in the link. But anyway, the site was down for a little while. Microsoft has basically said, hey, don't take it down. You know, we're going to withdraw our request for it to be removed because guess what? It's all over the internet. And so Computer World blogger Preston Gala dug into the document, and it's got all the guts and glory all out on the internet now. So if you want to find out, if you're ever going to get in trouble or get a subpoena, they'll basically, you know, this article will clue you in what's going to be revealed to Justice Department. An article over on HP Plus Magazine, hplusmagazine.com. Extraterrestrial Ethics. Extraterrestrial Ethics is the title of the article. Okay. There's an article out and discussion going on about ethics in space and applying ethics to what happens when we meet ET. So they want us to consider the Holy Grail of space exploration, discovery of life outside Earth, not just some kind of water, but the sentient life, the kind that has eyes, and what we should do to be prepared and how we're going to react and how we're going to treat that life form if we ever do encounter it. And boy, if we do, that's going to put the old world on its axis. It's just, you're talking about people going insane. It'll be crazy. But are we ready for that? What do you think? I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts. Is the world ready for ET? You know, how bad would it be? Geeknews@gmail.com. I really want you to dig deep here. Just give me your hypothesis of what would happen if ET showed up on our doorstep tomorrow and said, hey, we're here. Well, we got stuff to share. And yes, you're not alone. What do you think would happen? And this is probably an interesting discussion, ethics in relation to extraterrestrials. And I'll have this link up in the show notes. You guys can read through it. But interesting, someone is broaching that topic, yay? All right, new industry springs up overnight, filing patent marking suits over false patent claims. Apparently, there's a lot of companies that are putting a patent, you know, patent number on a product or a box. And guess what? The patent's expired, but they, you know, put it on there falsely to, we still have a patent on this. One of the companies that puts a patent on their cups is Solo. You know, the Solo, you guys all see the kids that drink out of the Solo cups, the big red cups, right? They have water or iced tea or Coke in them, right? They have them at parties. Well, apparently Solo was stamping the bottom of those with some sort of patent number on it. They didn't have a patent. So lawyers are going out now, and like ambulance chasers, they are going out and looking for these companies, and they've learned that if they take these companies to court and win an injunction against them, Uncle Sam gets 50% of the money, and the lawyer that brought the suit forward gets the other 50%. They don't even have to have a dog in the fight. The lawyer can just file the lawsuit. So you can imagine, in these tough times, lawyers are looking for every place they can make some money. So they're filing these patent marking suits over patent claims. And this is a new burgeoning industry. So if you have a company and you have a patent and it's expired, you better get it off your materials. Today, Steve Jobs made an announcement about Apple sitting on $40 billion in cash. Steve Jobs says they're not going to use that money for revenue, but they're going to be making some bold moves. Now, with $40 billion in your war fund, you can definitely go out on a little bit of a shopping spree and buy up some companies. You know how much a billion dollars would buy a lot of small companies. So we may see a spate of acquisitions here by Apple. So, hey, Apple, hey, got great product over at Raw Voice. Love to talk to you. Anyway, the acquisition of Quattro, a mobile advertising company, for approximately $300 million was pretty obvious where they were headed there. So we'll see what happens and what Apple brings to the table. I'm going to tell you, we got some exciting stuff coming from Raw Voice. We really, really do. I am totally jazzed. I can't wait to make the official announcement of what we got going. It's bam, slam dunk, home run. It's going to be a really exciting year. It really, really is. Okay, let me get back to topic. Over on Mark Cuban's weblog. All right, those of you from Minnesota that voted for Senator Al Franken, the dear senator is requesting user caps on internet bandwidth. I could go on for this for about an hour. But in his committee position, when Comcast and NBC Universal were going through their hearings, he basically has demanded that Comcast make available all NBC programming available for free over the internet. And all of it, he wants it, all of it available, made available to everyone, reduce rates for people that can't afford cable and the internet, and wants bandwidth caps put on you and I. Aren't you glad you voted for this guy? Link will be up in the show notes. Okay. If you didn't vote for him, whew, my goodness. Can you believe he said this? He wants user caps. A senator wants user caps put on our bandwidth. My goodness. Give me a break. All right. Clips. Clips has been world renowned for their speakers. They got some cool earbuds out, folks. I didn't really realize Clips had earbuds, but they got some cool ones. I have a link up to it in the show notes. The folks over at Engadget did a good review on them. I don't know, they're priced at $79, which is pretty reasonable, but the control on them looks pretty cool. It's got a little bit of a Apple feel to it. You actually play plus minus, just, you know, standard nice earbuds. So this is pretty good stuff. And they're down in Indy. I didn't know they were in Indianapolis. If I get back to Indianapolis, I'm going to go see those guys and see what they got cooking. How many of you have heard about the company called Talava? They're a reseller of 3G wireless. They're doing pay-as-you-go plans. So if you wanted a 3G card but really couldn't afford a monthly, you know, one, you can basically buy at one-month increments available. I know they've got a company in Hawaii, too, that's doing that as well. But you can use it, return it. Keep the card and pay basically a deposit for it, and you don't have to pay for it every month. This is great. This thing is. I'm gonna next year for CES. I'm gonna get like 5 of these, and then we'll have them there. Every person that we have at CES will have one, and then at the end of the time, we'll just send them back, and we'll be down $300 for the rentals, and you know who cares, but we'll have them for the whole time and have the entire team hooked up on those. Pretty cool stuff. All right, Mivix USA is introduced a USB Wi-Fi adapter that has an antenna on it that is like, wow. If you are having trouble getting Wi-Fi signals, depending on where you're at, this may be the product for you. You may be asked, what do you have there when you're sitting in Starbucks? But the Mivix USA Solido, find signals a county away, makes you look super important. Someone may even accuse you of working for some agency or something, because some police agency or something, because the antenna on this thing is huge. $34.99, and everyone's pretty excited about this. Good reviews on this by the folks at Engadget. You see I'm hurrying up because I'm long. All right, over on Web Worker Daily, 8 significant developments in social media you should watch out for. Well, MySpace, it's going down. Virtual goods, people are buying those like crazy. I guess that's the whole Second Life thing. Gaming is obviously big. Everyone's doing that farm thing on Facebook, which I don't fully get. We know what Twitter's doing. Niche networks. Hey, we're an expert in niche networks. You got a niche network? Hey, we would like to talk, especially niche network of new media. It's a very, very good a space to be in. Augmented reality. What does that mean? Well, the augmented reality is, what does it say? I'm having a hard time describing, and this is in the article, I'm having a hard time describing augmented reality to people who haven't seen it. If you haven't seen it in action, these infographics from GigaOm might help. The reaction is just what in the world, but who cares about this stuff? Augmented reality uses simple boggle the what? Use a simple. Okay, we're just gonna have to look at this one. I don't get it either. If he couldn't write it up in a paragraph, then I don't understand how it is important in dealing with social media. Google Buzz, we'll see what happens with there. And mobile, we know mobile's moving on. I'll have to look this augmented reality up. You guys, we'll talk about this on the next show. All right. Already talked about that. Second Life has got a new player and building out towards the web. And they showed me some stuff today on this video. Scoble did an interview. Pretty cool stuff. I haven't seen this before. I mean, it's time to revisit, to go back into Second Life. Also, there was an amazing thing today on TV. You know, they did this health summit. And I think the president spoke for 100-some minutes. The Democrats spoke for 140-some minutes. And the Republicans spoke for like 56 minutes or something like that. That was anyway. But one of the networks was doing the Sunlight Foundation. This is an article on Doc Searle's weblog. As the people were speaking, it bracketed the person's face and they showed who the donors were to the senator. And this is amazing. Here's a Representative Paul Ryan, Republican from Wisconsin. His top donors are insurance, retired funds, security, retirees, security investment, health professionals, miscellaneous manufacturing distribution, automated commercial banks, real estate, leadership PACs, lawyer law firms. Okay, so that's his top 10 from 528,000 to 189,000. Now, on the other hand, you've got Representative George Miller, a Democrat from California. His top career industry donors included building trade unions, industrial unions, public sector unions, transportation unions, lawyers, miscellaneous unions, health professionals, education, lobbyists, and real estate. So, you know, you look at who's paying who, you know, we got to get rid of all these people, you know, get rid of, you know, now they just open it up so corporations can donate more money, basically unlimited money to candidates. This is great. It really is. The Sunlight Foundation showed who each selected speaker, who their top career industry donors were. This is amazing. It really, really is. And it just brings to light, and you hear them talking, you know, they're talking about what we had to do for healthcare and this and this and that. And you read who their supporters are and you say, you know, he's speaking for his people that's donated money. And then the other guy, he's speaking on his party points. And there's a man, he's going to talk about the insurance agency, talking about health profession. It's very enlightening. Very, very enlightening. You guys got to check it out. And I don't normally talk politics on the show, but this is classic. This is classic. We need more of this. That would make most Americans sit back and go, he's talking about all this union stuff. He got like $25 million from unions. And then the other guy, he's talking about insurance companies and tort reform. He got $25 million from the insurance companies. Oh, man, it's funny. It really is. It just shows you how ridiculous the system has become. Thank Doc Searles. You made my day. I laughed at this. I think the rest of you will too. Doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on. I don't care. But it should make you sit back and go, All right. That's all for the record content tonight. Let me go ahead here and look at, I don't have no voicemails tonight. If you have any comments on tonight's show, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. And our first email of the night comes from Ian. He says, hey, Todd, excellent technical analysis of the LANREV spyware at Harrington High School. So it goes into a detail on what happened with the spy cameras. I got that from Ian. Thanks for that. I put that in the show notes. Trucker Tom sent me a pretty cool link. He said, hey, Todd, check out the leak in a shark-filled aquarium in Dubai. You guys heard about this huge, I guess it's the world's largest water tank, and you can walk through a tunnel of it, and there's 33,000 captive sea creatures in it, and this 270-degree of acrylic walk-through tunnel started leaking in a big way. You know, I can imagine being in that mall, and that thing start leaking, and I see those sharks. Now, when it busts, you know, things are going to get kind of crazy. And some people are going to get ate before the sharks die. Wow. Yeah, I would not be in this mall. I wouldn't, this is, looks like a death trap. It really, really does. Got an email from Chris. Hey, Todd, as a longtime listener and occasional email, I thought I'd drop you a to let you know the haters are way in the minority out there. Sure, the show is a little long sometimes. Sure, you talk about family and other business before the content. Well, guess what, haters? People like it. It shows behind the business there is a great family guy with good values, just like the rest of us try to be. Keep up the good work, dude, and ignore those haters. He goes, P.S., dump the iPhone already. Droid forever, Chris. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate that. Got an email from Jerry. Say, hey, Todd, I've been a long-time subscriber to your podcast. I enjoy your content. Therefore, try to support your sponsors whenever possible. Until recently, I had a little issue. Essentially, what Jerry did was he paid for a $69.99 commission. Basically, what it is, it's a GoDaddy domain buy service. And what they do is if you want to buy a domain and you want to do it anonymously, because let's say I go try to buy some podcasting domain, they see my name, they're immediately going to Google me, and the next thing I know, I'm going to be getting charged 10 times the amount for the domain that I really want to pay. So basically, GoDaddy will negotiate on your behalf. So what they try to do, and I've done this three or four, actually five times, and I've been successful two of the five times, is they send emails, they try to contact, they try to ring the phone that the, is associated with the account. They try to go through a number of processes of contacting the owner. If the owner refuses to respond over, I don't know what the exact period is, and we'll try to find that out for you, Jerry. GoDaddy basically says, hey, we've tried, we're sorry, we couldn't do it, we're going to consider this close. This is, you know, we attempted to do it. And you don't get your $69.99 back. Now, of the two of the five times that I was successful in buying a domain, I actually saved quite a bit of money using their service. Don't get a discount because the promo codes don't work on those type of purchases. But it's the same as I did. On three of the domains, the buyer or the owner never responded. So just be aware, Jerry, you know, I'm sure that was in the fine print. But for those of you that are looking to pick up that service, be aware that if GoDaddy cannot make contact with the company and they go through a number of processes to try to do so, basically at a certain point, they stop trying and they close the account. And if you want to try again, you have to pay another $69.99. So the transaction's closed. So Jerry, I'm going to send off your concern to my folks at GoDaddy. Just let them know that you weren't happy with that. Maybe it wasn't clear how long it would take or what the process would be, but so they can hopefully improve that. But thanks for bringing that to my attention. I appreciate it. And always want to bring up the positive and the negative. And it's just so that everyone's, you know, I try to be transparent here about all issues with the sponsors. And thanks, Jerry. We'll get that off to GoDaddy tomorrow morning. Got an email from Bree. She said, word to the wise. She says in a link here from the government computer news, there's an article there says if the United States fought a war in cyberspace today, it would lose. The nation's former top intelligence official told his Senate committee, and he's got a. I've got a link to this this article. Kind of scary stuff there, Bree. Got an email from Nier. He says, "Hey Todd, why do you have to hide by not disclosing which hotel you're at?" Really, what happened there, Nier, was a couple of years ago, I was in an area, and I don't want to embarrass anyone, and it's not anyone that emails the show on a regular basis. I basically said where I was at. I said that I was in such and such hotel in such and such area. I had a, because this show has gotten so big on the audio portion of the audience, I had a visitor at about 2 o'clock in the morning. Someone came knocking, and it wasn't of the male variety. And it was kind of a weird situation, and I had to send the young lady home. And it wasn't a, it was someone that listens to the show. And so just because when I travel now, I don't generally announce where I stay. Now, I am not Prince Charming. I am, but you know, the show's gotten so big. I just can't put myself in that type of a situation. Whether it was innocent or not, it doesn't matter. 2 o'clock in the morning, my father always said bad things happen after midnight, right? So just to, you know, always stay on this straight up. I don't announce generally where I'm at just in case something like that happens. And there's you know, it's just one of those things. So far as the guy that ordered the pizzas, it happened. It's, you know, it's we're going to put that behind us. But I was bouncing them out of the chat room for using that name. So thanks for your feedback on that, though, as well. Also, Nier said, on one show late, the Sony Ericsson may not be popular in the United States as it is in some of the parts of the tech world. Nier actually lives in Israel. I have one. I was always a hardcore Nokia user, but have to admit, despite myself, that the user interface isn't half bad. Quite easy to transition from a Nokia to a Sony Ericsson, and also the audio quality for iPod for podcast playback and music is much better. Have fun, Nier. We got an email from Mark said, "Hey Todd, just want to let you know it. As of 4:30 Eastern, I still can't locate Show 554 in iTunes. I was able to download from the website, but puzzled as to why it did not show up in iTunes. Love the show. Yeah, I was puzzled too. it finally showed up, but it took a while. Got an email from Matt. Hey Matt, you're right. I owe you something. Thanks for the reminder email. Got an email from Frank. He says, "Hey Todd, Apple had better not come to the beachfront here in Virginia Beach in July, or their heads will explode." I understand what you're saying, Frank. Got an email from Jason. "Hey Todd, I just had a few comments in your last show. For Apple removing all those apps, the reason they can't just leverage their rating system, filter out those apps, is probably because it is also completely broken to their horrible rules. Basically, any app that allows access to web content is rated 18+. My RSS reader on my iPod Touch is marked 18+, even though by default none of the content in there is 18+, but you potentially could add 18+ feeds. This is the case for many apps. Also, for your comments against OGG, the reason that there's so much push for OGG, not only because it's open source, but more importantly, it's patent-free. Right now, H.264 is patent, and they allowed free use until 2016. I understand that. But if 2016 comes, they decide to then change huge fees for use, well, then you're stuck with a very bad corner. There's a push for Google to release VP8, which they bought from ON2, patent-free, and it's higher quality to OGG. Or if the H.264 would make the free use of H.264 permanent, far less people would be complaining. Also, as for the ACTA and why it's being done the way it is as a treaty, it is because the rules they are pushing are so bad that every country they have tried to push for them as laws has rejected them. But making a treaty, having countries sign a treaty, becomes a law automatically within any of the normal public oversight that would happen with a regular law. Very cool insight, Jason. Thanks for that. Guess that's it, I think. Oh, I got something here from Tom on 554. A few things to talk about here. I can't believe the people up there that complain about the content of your podcast. It's a freebie. That's what's there to complain about. I've been listening to your podcast for years, and they're always informative, entertaining. I don't always agree with some of the things they're talked about, but that's the way things are. I thought the pizza guy was crazy and you had every right to refuse it since it wasn't paid in advance. I don't think myself or any other folks of your listeners would have done any different. I understand you consider us listeners as family, and that's why you talk like we are all sitting in a giant room together. Absolutely. That's the way I feel about this show. The folks that complain about the content of your podcast obviously don't get it. Goes on to say, I got a kick out of the slow motion podcast a few weeks ago. I really got a laugh when I jumped to the end and all I heard was Aloha. Yeah, that was kind of weird, wasn't it? Keep up the good work and I'll keep listening, watching on Ustream. And I think one more. Jeff, I don't know why you didn't get the show notes. They've been going out. Got an email from Eric. "Hey, Todd, how do you get rid of the white noise in a mixer when recording a podcast, like the noise from the house electricity? I'm having major problems with it and didn't want to spend any money with it without checking into the geek." Eric, you know what I use? I use a Furman power conditioner. That thing is worth its money in gold. Also, separate the recording equipment from the computers if you can. If you put them on a different circuit, even if it's the same circuit breaker panel in a different circuit, on a different circuit breaker, that separation seems to help. And a distance so farther away you are from the circuit breaker as well, make sure you have good ground on that house there. That helps reduce the hum. 50 hertz is harder than 60 hertz too to get the noise out. But a Furman power conditioner is what I use. They're about $150, and you can probably order them on eBay and have them shipped in. That's it. That's all the show notes, folks. We're long, as expected. All right. As always, hey, thanks for hanging out with me. We'll be back here on Monday with a regular recorded show. Tuesday, release the show. And if you have comments again tonight on tonight's podcast, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. Everyone take care. We'll see you on the next show. Those of you on Ustream, hang out. I'll be here for a little bit. Until next time, aloha.